Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. Today's class is given by His Grace Chakravarti Prabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, 11th chapter. 21 verse, Prabhu. Are you there, Prabhu? Are you present in the call, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Chakravarti Das here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Please Prabhuji, please take over this call. Thank you for your valuable association in the call.
So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 11, chapter entitled Swayambhuva Manu Advises Dhruva Maharaj. Verse number 21 onwards. Ayusho apachayam jantos tathevo pachayam vipuhu ubhabhayam ratihi rahita swastho dusthasya vidadhatya sau. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is all-powerful and He awards the results of one's fruitive activities. Thus, though one living entity's duration of life is very small, whereas that of another is very great. He is always in his transcendental position. There is no question of lessening or increasing his duration of life. Purport. Both the mosquito and Lord Brahma are living entities in the material world. Both are minute sparks and are part of the Supreme Lord. The very short duration of life of the mosquito and the very long lifetime of Lord Brahma are both awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the results of their karma. But in the Brahma Samhita, we find, it is said, karmani nirdhati, the Lord diminishes or vanquishes the reactions of devotees. The same fact is explained in Bhagavad Gita, yagna arthat karmano annatra. One should perform karma only for purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, one is bound by action and reaction of karma. Under the laws of karma, a living entity wanders within the universe under the rule of eternal time. And sometimes he becomes a mosquito and sometimes Lord Brahma. To a sane man, this business is not very fruitful. Bhagavad Gita gives a warning to the living entities. Yanti deva vrita devan. Those who are addicted to the worship of demigods go to the planets of the demigods. And those who are addicted to worship of Pitas, forefathers, go to the Pitas. Those who are inclined to material activities remain in the material sphere. But persons who are engaged in devotional service reach the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where there is neither birth nor death nor different varieties of life under the influence of law of karma. The best interest of the living entity is to engage himself in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur advised, my friend, you are being washed away in the material nature's waves of time. Please try to understand that you are the eternal servant of the Lord. Then everything will stop and you will be eternally happy. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानोऽंजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं च नमोऽहं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिते नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नामने गौरतुषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते कोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो माय हम्बल दंडवत्स टू ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड आई वुड बेग योर अपोलॉजीज इन बिटवीन इफ आई माय हेल्थ इज नॉट गुड सडनली सिंस मॉर्निंग and unfortunately I'm a bedridden person today, so because of cold and all, so in between you may hear some coughing sounds, so please forgive me for that. Now this section is coming to the closure and the next chapter is how Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, and we saw this struggle of Dhruva and his victory in successfully pleasing the Supreme Lord only in 6 months. And then he was given the rule, he was given the kingdom to rule for 36,000 years, in which once when his brother was killed by Yaksha when he went for hunting, and his stepmother was burnt alive in the forest fire, and we have discussed that is because of the offense he committed at the lotus feet of Dhruva Maharaj. Even though Dhruva was not a devotee that time, when the stepmother of Dhruva committed offense towards Dhruva, Dhruva was not a devotee. He was an ordinary boy. But she had to pay the price because Dhruva became devotee later. So we should be very careful. That's why it is said that a Vaishnava is very careful in dealing with every living entity, not only devotees, but every single creature, because everyone is a child of the Supreme Lord. And how is a Vaishnava careful? It's very simple. Now we cannot go and we try to be just careful, because that doesn't work. So Vaishnavas are compassionate. See, if you are compassionate to someone, you will not offend that person. You will not become proud. The pride will not come in our heart if we are compassionate towards some person. Like a mother or father, they have natural compassion for their children. So they don't show their talent or skill in front of their child. There's nothing to show in front of child. They don't become proud because they have compassion. What they will show to their child? Even if child does something wrong, a child becomes proud, that's okay, still they are normal. Naturally they behave in a way. So, Vaishnava, a high class Vaishnava, he is like a fatherly figure, having a lot of compassion for all the living entities. And in that way he protects himself from any kind of Vaishnava offense. Till the time we reach there, we should try to avoid Vaishnava offense and try as much as possible not to disturb any living entity. Otherwise, somewhere or the other, even that living entity doesn't become devotee, the karma will definitely come. And this section is very amazing, you know, talking about karma. So then Dhruva goes to Yakshaloka and kind of retaliating and killing the Yakshas. And then Yakshas, just through their own illusory potency, they took over Dhruva. And the sages came to rescue of Dhruva, saying that you were a small child, 5-year-old child, and by mantra, by the holy name of the Lord, you conquered the Lord Ajita, who is unconquerable. He personally came in front of you. So now also, you just chant the holy name of Lord and see what the result will be. Then he chants this Narayanastra. In this chapter we see he puts this Narayanastra chanting the name of Lord Narayan. And he kills so many Yakshas. Seeing that he is killing so many Yakshas, his grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, comes and gives this wonderful instruction about compassion and talks about karma. So different instructions he gives, and today's verse is talking about how someone is given a life duration of a mosquito. Mosquito may have a life duration not more than one night. Especially you have seen the small green kind of insects. Very small, proper talks in his example. Moth, who are attracted towards the light, and they go towards the light and they are killed by the same light. They don't have a duration of life more than few hours. Everything gets finished for them in the night, in our night. And then we have to the other side Lord Brahma, who has a duration of life which extends up to 311 trillion years and 40 billion years, which is fixed. It's not like human being that, you know, like human beings that die at 60, 70. But Brahma stays fixed 311 trillion and 40 billion years. So then, who decides? It's the Supreme Lord who decides. So here, Swayambhuva Manu is giving this wonderful instruction that it is karma. So we'll come back to karma. So before that, Prabhupada is talking about these different paths. Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, warns 9.25, that one who worships the demigods go to demigods, one who worships forefathers, he goes to forefathers. One who worships the ghostly beings, he goes to their planets. And one who worships the Supreme Lord in devotion, then he goes back to Godhead. It is amazing how there are many people who follow this philosophy which has no logical conclusion, that whatever path you follow, the result or the destination is same. You would have heard this, yatho mat tato pat. Whatever path you go, you will reach to the same destination. How is it possible? If from India, Prabhupada gives the example of railway. If I'm in Bombay and if I buy a ticket for North India, say Delhi, and board the train for Delhi, I will go to Delhi. If I buy a ticket for Chennai and sit in that train, then I go to Chennai, south of India. And if I want to go towards East India, then I'll go towards East India. How is that I'll buy any ticket and reach to the same destination? It's very illogical. And Krishna, by his one verse in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, defeats this philosophy, bogus philosophy. So everything is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, still you see so many people bewildered. They come up with different philosophies. This is due to their envy towards the Supreme Lord. So in our life also, it's very simple. What we do, that will, whatever actions or whatever desires we have, that will develop eventually our consciousness. And whatever is our consciousness, that is the destination we'll be given. So if Prabhupada has given the name to this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so it is the society which is for Krishna consciousness, to develop the consciousness or to transform the consciousness from any other to the consciousness of Krishna. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Paritajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, that leave everything, all other religion, and just follow my path. So that is what Prabhupada has given. Now in our daily life, whatever we do, whatever we focus on, that will eventually become our consciousness. And we'll follow that. That's why if you see our chanting, many devotees say that, you know, sometimes we sleep in chanting, our mind is wandering in chanting. That devotee should analyze how was the previous day. How was the previous day, or how was the previous few days? That will impact the chanting. The more we are thinking about Krishna and about the mission of Krishna, about the activities related to Krishna, the more, the better will be our chanting next day. That's how it works. If you read Bhagavatam in the evening or Krishna book, or you know, you chant extra rounds for say half an hour to 1 hour and then sleep, it will have a different impact on your chanting. And that's why Srila Prabhupada gave this spiritual sandwich, Srila Prabhupada will call. The devotees have morning program from Mangala Arati to Bhagavatam class. They take prasad, they go for their services. They come back in the evening, attend Gaura Arati, attend Bhagavad Gita class, take a glass of milk, read Krishna book. So next day, they will be Krishna conscious. And in the daytime, they can do their work. Now that time, there was hardly, you know, devotees who were like congregation devotees. They were full-time devotees. They work for ISKCON only. So now we have congregation devotees. So they can do their work. But if evening, if not, entire evening program possible. But at least whatever we can do. So it is also that, you know, we have our own past karmas, and those karmas also have given us sanskaras. So sometimes we also come into this mode that even if I don't do, I can somehow chant and just go on. Yes, you can chant, but the quality of chanting, don't expect to be the better quality or a top class quality. So if I read Krishna book, or if I read Bhagavatam, or if I chant, or if I hear some spiritual, you know, classes, and then sleep, that will have impact next day. So that is spiritual sandwich which Srila Prabhupada has given for all of us. It's very simple. Everyone should become, or everyone should analyze their own, you know, lifestyle, and introspect how their sadhana is, how their japa is going on. Especially, japa is the meter by which you can find out how is the consciousness going on. If one is able to smoothly chant, that is different consciousness, different level of bhakti. If one is struggling, then how, why is he struggling? So that will be decided by your activities. Especially, I don't have much authority to say this, but please forgive me. Especially after chanting of, 16 rounds for like 10 years or more, sometimes we tend to become casual with bhakti. That's why I said, I'm sorry. Please don't get offended with me. But it's a general tendency. The fire goes down. Even I see myself, when I chanted first round, when I was chanting first few rounds in my early days, when, I was chanting 2 rounds, 4 rounds. And now tend to become that enthusiasm because of the offenses. One reason is offenses, one reason is pride. It's very subtle, very, very subtle. Why we tend to take anything casually? Because of the pride. Oh, I know Krishna, I know philosophy, I know Prabhupada, I know my Guru Maharaj, I know this devotee, I know everything. One devotee said, I don't hear everyday Bhagavatam class, but the same thing is going on. It's like we are reading this chapter, 11th chapter of the 4th canto, Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj. Now there are, around 40 people who are attending this class. Someone will say, okay, once in a week I'll attend. Same thing, no? So that will show our consciousness. That is the reflection of our consciousness. I have to discuss about karma. That itself is a bigger topic, but we'll anyway wrap this up quickly. If you want to know what is your consciousness, just open your mouth. Whatever you are talking, even if you are asking questions, that will reflect the consciousness. Because whatever will come out from your mouth, that is the consciousness. I have been given this section of Bhagavatam. I prepare, read Prabhupada's purport, read different books, hear different lectures, Prabhupada's lecture, other devotees' lecture, prepare, make notes. But whatever finally I speak or what it will impact on you is my consciousness. I may speak many lofty things in the Bhagavatam, but I have not realized those things. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, you speak what you have realized. So even if I speak something very lofty, which I have not realized, it will not touch your heart. What will go to your heart, to your consciousness as a listener, is what I have realized. That's why I request everyone I meet, I said, please hear lectures of Prabhupada. Definitely. You hear all the other lectures. But Prabhupada, one devotee asked me, how do I do Mahat Seva? I was giving Bhagavatam in the temple and Brahmachari asked me, how do I do Mahat Seva? Where is Mahat? All the senior leaders of our movement, because they have, they may be our gurus, but before becoming our gurus, they are also disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And they have to expand this mission. And they are not only my guru. He is not only my guru. He is guru of many thousands of people all around the world. He has to take care of everything. So I asked the devotee, who is the greatest devotee in ISKCON? Who is the greatest Mahat? Purest of the pure devotee in ISKCON? He said, Prabhupada. I said, do you have association of Prabhupada? He said, yes. I said, how many hours in the day? He said, 24 hours. I said, there you are. So you are doing Mahat Seva. By chanting a 16 round, by following the instruction given by Prabhupada, Mangala Arati, Sandhya Arati, by reading Bhagavatam, serving ISKCON, whatever you are doing, if you are doing, that means you are serving Srila Prabhupada by instruction. So that is consciousness. I was just talking about the consciousness. So we should also start working on that. And as I said, that we tend to be little casual and little lenient one should be lenient with everyone else in the world except oneself. With oneself, one should be very, very strict. One should not take compassion on one own self. What is this compassion? Oh, I will chant little later. Let me sleep little more. I can read tomorrow. This is becoming compassionate on oneself, which will destroy our enthusiasm. So one should be very strict with oneself. Rigid sadhana. Prabhupada used this word, rigid sadhana. And then one can be lenient with others. So if we feel, we should introspect, if we feel we are a little casual, we are taking this process of Krishna consciousness casually, then we should do something. It's a really serious thing. After 10 years of chanting 16 round, after 15 years of chanting 16 round, now is the time when you should relish chanting. When chanting should go on smooth, you should be able to hear more and more mantras, what we are chanting. And that will inspire the younger generation, that will inspire the younger devotees. That is how every devotee will eventually become an acharya. By their own acharan, by their own bhakti, they can influence others. In the early days of ISKCON, these devotees, Vishnujan Maharaj and other devotees, when they go for kirtan, just by seeing these Prabhupada disciples in early days, the public in America, in Europe, in Australia, wherever they go, they'll be like so much inspired to follow them. Because of their enthusiasm. Now, if one is not relishing his chanting and speaks about chanting, it's very shallow, it's hollow. Then the preaching will not have impact. It will not make other person inspired to chant. You may have something as your favorite sweet, like gulab jamun. You may like gulab jamun very much. And someone who's new to this culture of gulab jamun, who does not know gulab jamun, and he asks you, I heard something about this Indian sweet called gulab jamun. Can you please elaborate? And the way you will elaborate, it will be like, you know, you are eating the most delicious gulab jamun right away. Your facial expressions will change. Your emotions will change. You will be like, that person, the person whom you are telling about gulab jamun, he can also feel that taste of gulab jamun. Because it's coming from the bottom of your heart. It's coming from your inner consciousness because you like that gulab jamun so much. Now if you have not eaten something or you have eaten sometimes something, another person will ask you, you'll just theoretically explain, which will not have impact much. That's why all these shlokas of Bhagavad Gita, see how this shloka is connected to our own sadhana. One who worship forefathers, go to forefather, one who worship demigod. So are we worshipping Krishna? How much are we worshipping? That will impact our next day's chanting and eventually that will impact our course of, our path of bhakti and where we are heading. We should relish. So this is one thing. When I was reading the purport, I realized that it's a touch. And now coming to the most wonderful and amazing concept of karma. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, karmana gahana gati. This karma is very gahan, very confidential. It's so amazing and so confusing. No one can understand what is karma. Almost impossible to understand how this karma works. And Prabhupada said, you cannot understand what is happening with you. Now, right now I am like traveling to North India and the weather is freezing, especially people who are living in Bombay. You know, someone like coming from Mexico City to New York in this weather, something like that. So, very cold for me. And now I'm affected, I know I'm afflicted with temperature, there is cough, there is cold, continuously sneezing, can't do anything, can't sleep also. Still, in front of you right now, I blamed the weather. You saw how it impacts. The intensity of blame was less. Because what we can do, it's weather. But I am suffering, and I accept that suffering. But in some amount of suffering, even the 10% of suffering what I am going right now, undergoing right now, some other person gives, and especially some devotee gives me suffering. The intensity with which I will blame that person, and if he is a devotee, the intensity will go to the highest degree to blame that person, to blame that devotee. I'm sure everyone is able to relate with that. Only if you are an advanced soul, Uttama Adhikari, you will not blame. Everyone else will blame. Everyone else. Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Instruction, amazing, a small book, 11 verses, talks from the new sadhaka to the Prema Bhakti. We should regularly, again and again, try to read this book. Sorry, it's so wonderful. After every 2-3 months, 4 months, we should again revisit to that book. Just 1-2 sittings, you can, even one sitting, if you read for a few hours, you can finish that book, read that book completely. So Rupa Goswami writes about the Kanishthadhikari, then he gives the symptom of Kanishthadhikari. Then he talks about Madhyama Adhikari. Then he gives the symptom of Madhyama Adhikari. Different symptoms, how they behave, what to do. And then he talks about Uttama Adhikari. In Uttama Adhikari, he gives just one symptom. One symptom only. Ninda Shunyam. He does not criticize anyone. He is Uttama Adhikari. Every day we read this 10 holy name offenses. In the third canto, in many places, in the third canto I was reading yesterday, Srila Prabhupada says, the greatest of all the offenses is to offend a Vaishnava. And we know what happened with Durvasa. So, I was reading this section where these four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha and Jai Vijay stops them. Now that was all Krishna's plan. Otherwise, Jai Vijay, not the persons, they are Uttama Adhikari, they cannot offend devotees. That was Krishna's plan. So there Prabhupada writes, the greatest of all offenses is to offend a devotee. So offending, criticizing, same thing. Blaming. So only when one reaches to the level of Uttama Adhikari, he will not blame. Now, I am not Uttama Adhikari, definitely. Below Kanishtha. I should try to understand intellectually the philosophy, try to grasp and understand and try to apply, means at least I should not blame others. I was reading this section, it's very complicated because it's all about karma, karma, karma. Even the Prabhupada has tried to made it so simple that we can easily assimilate. Still it is complicated. The karma philosophy is so complicated. There are so many yogis and munis that discuss so much about karma that no one can understand. Let us discuss few examples. Then it will be easier for us to understand. Like I gave you the example. I'm suffering with cold and cough and fever and all that. Body pains and everything. I cannot blame anyone. So I am like kind of okay. Happens. Karma. If someone disturbs me, then I will blame him rather than saying it is my own karma. But everything is happening because of our own karma. One devotee went to Prabhupada and every time he was complaining about some or the other devotee. And Prabhupada understood that every time this fellow complains, you would have seen some people always complaining. So Prabhupada, with a very firm voice, he told him, why are you angry on the result which is due to your own karma, your own actions? No one can harm us. No one can give any benefit to us. No one can harm us and no one can benefit us. It's all my karma. That's why in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam it is said, do not criticize any devotee, do not praise any devotee. It's amazing. Do not criticize, we understand. Do not praise also. Do not praise anyone. Why to praise anyone? It's just anyone in the Bhagavad Gita section, I think 2.56 or 2.57 somewhere, Krishna is telling that that you should not be elated in happiness and you should not be distressed in sorrow, and 2.55, and then 2.56 says that no one is giving you, you know, anything good, or no one is giving you anything bad. It's your own karma. If I come and give a gift to someone of you, you will say thank you. Well, that's not me. Why are you thanking me? That's your karma which is coming. And if I give you something which is not palatable, then you become angry. Why are you angry on me? So let us try to understand with this example. I think we have discussed, but sometimes, you know, like you are in the hospital. Someone is in the hospital taking some treatment. In the morning, doctor comes and he sees the report. He sees the progress that patient is making in terms of his recovery from the disease. And then he writes something and just goes. Maybe talks a sentence or two with the patient and sees his nerves and all that. Write something on the, scribble something on the pad, and that is case history of the patient. Now the attendant or the nurse comes and sees that, you know, what doctor has written. And accordingly, that patient is treated. Now if the doctor writes that the patient should be given some, you know, juice to drink, then they will serve him juice. Now what juice, that is what is written. Doctor says, give him pineapple juice or give him orange juice. Or give him some bitter medicine. Or give him some solid food. Now he has recovered, give him some solid food. So we know this, we have experienced. Now this patient is lying. There's another patient also. And doctor went to him, scribbled something on his chart, and he is given something else. But there's a tendency to compare. Why the doctor is giving him this thing and giving to me? Can we blame to the doctor? Can we blame the nurse or the attendant? Can we blame the medicine? No. Doesn't make sense. Yes, the medicine is bitter. It's given to you because you are diseased. The attendant is just bringing that medicine to you. So then we may blame that, you know, doctor has written. Doctor is my enemy. I am paying money to this hospital and they are giving me this treatment. Like if someone goes for a bypass surgery, it's very costly, expensive affair, bypass surgery. 24 hours before the surgery, you are not allowed to even drink water. What to talk about eating? Even you cannot drink water. So one devotee was admitted for a bypass surgery. And 24 hours, you know, he cannot even drink water. And he said, I'm paying like lakhs of rupees. And they are not giving me one bottle of water. So why are, you know, he was telling, sharing his experience. He said, but whom to blame? Shall I blame to the hospital? Shall I blame to the doctors? Doesn't make a sense. There are only two reasons why things are happening. Actually, only one reason. Karma. And then Deva is there. Karmana Deva Netrena. It is our own karma, but Krishna has set up a system. Krishna will not personally get involved in every case. He has settled a system where whatever you do, you are given. And Lord Brahma is actually Vidhi. Lord Brahma's one name is Vidhi. That means who writes what you are supposed to be given. And then are different agents. You know, there may be demigods and who act to give us our own quota of suffering and happiness. And that's where we are. Someone very close to you, he will tend to find fault. But he will glorify the other devotee who is far off. So I was discussing and I said to one devotee, it is not because someone else whom you are criticizing or finding fault with is at fault actually. It is our own conditioning. I said to him, if I make you personal secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't have a right, but I was just creating a hypothetical situation. If you become the personal secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if you are not completely purified, then you will even find fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to talk about any other devotee? And we have seen this in Mahabharata. Personally, Duryodhan and Karna, how they are finding fault with Lord. They are seeing Lord face to face. What kind of fortune they have. Or we know this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's son-in-law, Amogha. He got purified by mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he had relationship with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. But otherwise he was finding fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kala Krishna Das, he left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go for sense gratification. Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was another personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, towards the North Indian tour, Vrindavan. And the local people are talking that, you know, Krishna has come to Vrindavan in the Yamuna and he's kind of dancing on the hoods of Kalia. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya comes to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, everyone is going to see Kalia. Krishna dancing on Kalia. Can I go and see? And Mahaprabhu says, are you foolish or what? Don't you know that Krishna never appears or manifests himself in eyes of public, in front of public in Kali Yuga? He only comes in Dwapar. Then again he says, no, but he has come. Then Mahaprabhu slightly slapped him. So there's a tendency. Even though Balabhadra Bhattacharya is completely pure, but Shastras are teaching. When in Jharkhand forest, Mahaprabhu slapped this tiger sleeping on the path. So why are you sleeping and wasting your time? Get up and chant Hare Krishna. And he started it. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was standing away fearful that I'll be killed if I go to these animals. So it is not the other person, it is our own conditionings which will have impact, which is giving us sorrows and pleasure, misery or bliss. But we have a tendency to blame. It's a very deep rooted tendency to blame others. Only one who is spiritually very strong will not blame. And as we advance, Now, one who is spiritually weak, he will blame. One who is Uttam Adhikari, he will not blame. We have to come in between and try to understand and reduce that tendency to blame. I'll give you another example. Let us create a hypothetical situation. Like I am in the room now. Practically not gone out of the room because can't move. Now I'm packed in one room and suppose nobody else exists in this city or in the house. Only one devotee who's attending me because I need some help, he is with me. As per my karma, I am destined today on this day, what is the day today? 28th of January, I am destined that I will get 2 rasgullas to eat, okay? And I will get some good vegetable khichdi with hot vegetable khichdi with ghee pouring on it, and I'm supposed to get some beating and some accusations. This is my karma. You know, like we saw in the case of this hospital, doctor comes once in the morning and he writes whatever is to be given. So Brahma has written. Okay, Lord Brahma has written. You know, Chakravarti Das, get this rasgulla and then good khichdi and some beatings and some accusations. Now there is one devotee who is serving me. There is no other exist in this house. So who will be made instrument to give me this sweet rasgullas or khichdi? That devotee only. Suppose there is some devotee, Krishna Das. So that Krishna Das will be made instrument to give me rasgulla and khichdi. No one exists. So I will say, oh Krishna Das, you are so kind, you are so nice, you know, you are helping me so much, you are giving me this facility, I am indebted to you. I'll be eternally indebted to you. Whatever good words and philosophy we have learned in ISKCON, we will pour it out. It will be very theoretical. Or maybe with some realization. But actually it is karma. He is not doing it. Well, okay, we say thank you. It's an etiquette. And after some time, I told you I'm supposed to get some accusations. Someone will come and accuse me today. That is my karma. But no other living entity exists. So then he will come and he will see that I have eaten khichdi and left half of the khichdi and some khichdi is, you know, spilled on the floor here and there, and some rasgulla is, you know, the liquid is out somewhere and ants are coming and the room has become messy. And he will come. He said, Prabhuji, what is this nonsense? What have you done? You are such careless, you are such filthy, such messy person that you have spread everything. I gave you in such a nice, you know, plate, the khichdi to eat, and in the nice bowl this rasgulla, then what have you done? You have created a mess out of it. If you don't want to eat, eat something and just keep it aside. And then he will go on and on and on, and I will think, my Lord, Krishna Das was such a nice devotee. I thought he is my eternal friend, but what has become to him? What happened suddenly? And even he does not know, this poor fellow, that why is he behaving like this? Because he is just made an instrument. And then I am also being controlled, my body movements are controlled by demigods. Prabhupada writes in third canto, I kind of throw the plate. You heard the sound of plate? Someone in the kitchen. So I just throw the plate. And then he holds my hands and legs and starts beating me. You uncontrolled, you know, wretched person. I got good meal to eat and accused and beaten up also. Same Krishna Das. So I will accuse him. I will blame Krishna Das for this. But that is my karma. It was already written that 20th January I am supposed to get this. Now there is no other person. Now we change the situation. I am supposed to get same good things, goodies from someone and some beating and some accusation. Now there is one more person. There is Krishna Das and there is Chaitanya Das. So they divided the job between themselves, and Krishna Das was supposed to serve me prasadam, and Chaitanya Das was supposed to clean up the room. And now whatever good has happened in my life because of my some pious deed, Krishna Das will give me the result by giving me some khichdi and some sweet. And after I have created a mess in the room, Chaitanya Das comes to clean. And then he is made instrument to accuse me and to beat me up. The hypothetical situation, I'm going a little far, but just to make it more spicy. Now what will I do? I will say, see, Krishna Das is such a nice devotee. And this Chaitanya Das is such a rascal. You see? Similarly, we are staying with few devotees or non-devotees in our house. And if you go out and you are working, you are mixing with other people. And you have a backlog of karma, which is good and bad. So the reactions, prarabdha, is due for 28th January, after hearing the Bhagavatam, this and this will happen with you in entire day. So different people, different personalities, including the insects, including birds, you may go out and some birds will just fly over you and just, you know, put some bird droppings or something on your clothes. That's also karma. You cannot blame the bird. You may meet, you're traveling by a local bus, and the bus conductor may behave very warmly with you, or he may be angry. And when bus conductor is angry, we think, oh, he has some bad mood. No, but it is your karma also. Because we meet many people, they give us good or bad karma, the reactions of our karma. But it is our own actions from previous lives or from this life which is bringing us this result. Now why we, you see, let us, you go for book distribution. When you go for book distribution, you meet some local American, and you know, he's not in the mood or whatever, and he just, you know, talks to you in a very harsh way, and sometimes people may throw the book also. You will feel bad, but then you will also develop some compassion for this conditioned soul. He's not fortunate to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada in the form of his books. Sorry for this. So the non-devotees will not have so much potency to purify us, our own karma. He has thrown the book on your face, still you will not mind so much. But a devotee in your community whom you know by mistake, he gives little reaction of your own karma, very important, of your own karma, he gives little reaction, you become so upset, and you go to entire community one by one through WhatsApp, through messaging personally, and then accusing that devotee. Because only a devotee can purify. See, outside person will beat you, you will not mind it. That time we become like, you know, we are so compassionate like Lord Nityananda. But inside, if someone will just touch you, then we create a scene there. So if we have to protect ourselves, we have to protect our consciousness. Only way is we have to understand this philosophy. And still, there is a tendency. Like I told you, it came so spontaneously and naturally for me. If someone will ask me, "Oh Prabhuji, you are getting this cold and cough. Why?" I said, "I travel to North India, na? So North India is cold. So I blame to North India and to cold. But it's a winter season, supposed to be cold." And then there is individual karma, there is family karma, entire family gets into karma. Then there is society karma. You know, one tsunami comes, earthquake comes, it affects many people. A plane crash happens, many people die. A train accident happens. Then there is national level karma, global karma, this is global warming. There is universal karma. What happened in Mahabharata? Krishna pulled all the people together and in wholesale he got them liberated. So if there is a common karma, Krishna acts. So that is how. And then how we can save ourselves? Whatever has happened in the past, you cannot go and change. That is clear to every one of us. We are at least not so much insane that we do not understand this. We understand that whatever has happened, has happened. We cannot change. We don't have a time machine. But now, from this moment onwards, whatever will happen, whatever actions we perform, yes, those actions are also driven by mode of material mode of nature. True. There are modes which are impacting our behavior. I agree. There is the previous karma phala which is acting on us. But still, we have free will. You know, like sometimes people, you know, you go out and people are drunkard and they're completely drunk and abusing other people. So you may say, "Oh, see this person, completely in ignorance." Yes, he is in ignorance. The mode of ignorance is acting on him. But still that person has free will. From Bhagavad Gita and from Bhagavad Gita itself, there are three performers of actions: Krishna and Maya and Jiva. So somewhere it is written, Krishna is Sarva Karana Karanam. But somewhere it is written, Krishna says, "I do not get involved in anything." So Krishna is not the Karana. Then Maya is doing everything. But somewhere it is written, Maya is doing nothing. And sometimes it is mentioned, Jiva is doing everything. And sometimes it is Jiva cannot do anything. There's a mix. People say your philosophy is confusing. It's not confusing. It's in detail. Someone who's living in a joint family, you know, he has his father and mother, and father's three elder brothers, and his elder brother's wife and their children, and two younger brothers, and two younger brothers' wife and their children. And then sisters, father's four sisters, and sisters' husbands and their children, and the grandfather, grandmother, and then sister's husband, father, four husbands, you know, four sisters, four husbands, four fathers, four mothers, and their children. You have, I mean, whoever has seen this joint family kind of thing in India, you see so many relatives. You know, is it confusing? No. You know everyone. So our philosophy is not confusing, it is in detail. So, one thing we should remember, I'm sorry if I'm confusing all of you, that we have a free will to act. And that free will we can use depending on how our intelligence or our consciousness is. That is why we do sadhana bhakti, so that we can purify our consciousness. By chanting, by reading, by hearing, by serving, we are gradually purifying our consciousness. And that consciousness will help us to use our free will in certain directions. If the consciousness is contaminated, then our free will go to do some illicit activities. And if our consciousness is getting purified, we may not be a pure devotee, but we are some kind of devotee. So that consciousness is purified, and then you go and use your free will and act. That's what I said. Whatever you do is a reflection of your own consciousness. So we do it. So what we can do, let us now, time is up. So what we can do, one is Prabhupada is giving this two very wonderful shlokas in this purport. One is yagna arthat karmana anyatra karma bandhana. Anyatra, otherwise there is karma bandhana. If you don't act for Krishna, then you will be acting for self bondage. So one is we act for Krishna. In the details everyone knows. And another, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Brahma Samhita. Very amazing, you know, hope-giving verse. That bhakti is one thing which will destroy all the reactions of your good and bad karma. Only bhakti has this power. When you start bhakti, kutam, bijam, everything is gone, but prarabdha Krishna will not easily remove it. Because if Krishna removes prarabdha, then we are not yet ready to digest it. You know, we will become immature pure devotees. Immaturely, we will become pure devotees, which can be dangerous. So Krishna, let us suffer a little bit and make us realize more, deeper. And then we take more shelter at the lotus feet of devotees and Krishna. So one is, we do yagna arthat karmano, that we should do our actions for the pleasure of Krishna, guided by Krishna. And for that we should know what is the guidance, which is coming from the instruction in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita and other literatures, NOD, NOI, other Prabhupada books. And then we hear other lectures. We hear the lectures of devotees. So these two things will give us the instructions, will give us the guidance how to act. But still, it may happen that we know what is right, but still we don't have that courage and strength and determination to do it. And that courage and determination and strength comes from chanting and serving. It comes from chanting mainly and serving. So that is why we should serve devotees, which will increase. Vasudeva katha ruchi. Your ruchi, your taste in Vasudeva katha, your taste in hearing and reading will increase. Chan mahat sevaya, when you serve the devotees. So you serve the devotees, it will increase your taste for chanting and reading and hearing. And by this chanting, you will get the strength, internal spiritual strength, to do what is right. Dharmo rakshati rakshatah. And then you will do as per dharma, you will protect dharma. And in the tough times, dharma will protect you. The religion will protect you. So that is what we can do. And try as much as possible not to. It's difficult. I mean, I myself am afflicted with this trait of blaming. But we should try. And then gradually we will advance in bhakti. And all the reactions, as Krishna says, aham toham sarva pape bhyo moksha ishyami ma suchaha, do not fear. I will destroy all your results of your karmas. Do not worry. That's what we do. And gradually we will see that we are out of this bondage. So this is what and the icing on the cake is wonderful statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which Prabhupada writes in the purport: "My friend, you are being washed away in material nature's waves of time." See, it's applied to us. Please try to understand that you are the eternal servant of the Lord. Then everything will stop. What will stop? This bondage, this cycle of birth and death, the cycle of pain and pleasure will stop, and you will be eternally happy. So that's what. That's a long topic. We don't have much time. So this is about karma. Whatever I could remember, I could tell. Any comments or questions, if you have time?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada, all glory to Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, it's a wonderful class, and like in the morning time when and the beginning of the week, it just gives so much of realization that how you can calm down and then trust Krishna. But when you said, Prabhuji, like it seems so easy to understand, but when we follow it, it's always that these all things which come up, whether it is anger or whatever reactions we are giving, sometimes it is out of always fear. Fear for losing something, fear of not getting something, or fear of what will happen. So this that fear, I think, like for me at least, I feel that fear becomes a main cause. So how to deal with that? We know that it's just Krishna, and He is the controller, and why to fear? But how to deal with that fear which is there in us, which gives rise to many wrong things going on in our mind?
We have to analyze what is the cause of fear. And Bhagavatam has wonderfully analyzed for you. You don't have to worry. So Bhagavatam says in 11th canto, Dvitiya Abhinivesayat Syat. Bhayam Dvitiya Abhinivesayat Syat. Bhayam, the fear, is coming in our consciousness because we are putting or investing our consciousness in something else other than Krishna. When you invest your consciousness in some person or some individual or something or somewhere which is not Krishna, then you are bound to be fearful. You cannot be saved from fear. We are fearful of losing the near and dear ones, but they were never yours. Yours is only Krishna, and you belong to Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami in NOD writes, Krishna is a possessive lover. Krishna is extremely possessive for us. And Krishna wants all our energy, all our consciousness to be invested in Him. We become fearful in losing something, but it was never yours. This entire material world, Bhagavad Gita says, avyakto vyakto, and then avyakto. It was unmanifested. It has manifested now, it will again become unmanifested. So which is yours? What is yours? The position of Brahma is yours, the position of Indra is yours, the position of President of America is yours, the money which you possess is yours, the husband, the children, the father and the mother or sister or brother or the friends are yours. You know this Ramanuja's disciple Kuresh. He was such an amazing, magnanimous devotee. He was a king, but he used to give up everything. His kingdom was open, and anyone can go. His treasury of the kingdom was open. Any villager, any person wants to walk in and take away any gold, silver, anything from his treasury, they are free to do. No one will ask. That kind of the devotee he was, that kind of exalted personality he was. So one day Kuresh thought, you know, you see the consciousness. And then Kuresh is thinking and telling his wife, I have become very proud. I think that I am giving everything of my property to my subjects. to the people in my kingdom. But who am I? It's Krishna who's giving them. So because of this pride, I think I should give up everything. And he left everything. And he said to his wife, we will leave right now in the night. We will walk. Don't take any jewelry. Don't take any money. Don't take anything with you. We'll just walk towards Sri Rangam. Quraysh was staying somewhere between Chennai and Kanchipuram, Tirupati, somewhere this area. And then he goes walking towards, he and his wife is walking towards Sri Rangam. And they go into the forest. And the wife was a little fearful. And Quraysh could understand. And Quraysh asked his wife, have you brought anything with you? And she said, yes, my lord. And both are pure devotees. What have you brought? She said, one silver glass. So that whenever you are thirsty, I can bring some water from the river or the lake and offer it to you to drink. It's my duty as a wife to serve you. And Quraysh is kind of chastisingly speaks to his wife that why have you brought? And this is the reason for your fear. This is the reason for your fear. And then Quraysh takes the glass and throws away. And then both husband and wife chanting the holy name, they walk towards Sri Rangam. See, even this body is not ours. We are fearful. The biggest fear is fear of death. And little bigger fear than death is fear of losing the name and fame which we have earned. So neither the name is yours, the fame is yours, the glories are yours, neither the body is ours. I mean, it's a very raw form of our philosophy, but it's very harsh, but that's the reality. Whenever we consider, whenever the soul tries to consider anything in the creation, his own, his fear will start of losing. That fear will come because you or anyone, when we are anticipating the loss of any of our possessions, it may be material possession, it may be living entities, it may be anything, your name, fame, subtle, whatever possessions we have, when we anticipate that in future I may lose any of them, we will become fearful. And that is the bondage. Bhagavatam has analyzed it. Bhayam dhiti abhinivesayat. So, no need to worry. We will be fearful. Because we are not going to become pure devotees immediately after this class. But the fear can be dealt with philosophy and by taking more shelter of Krishna. By chanting and reading. And we can see other side, the flip side of this, that you are fearful. And what happens when we become fearful? We want to take, immediately we want to...